Hello, hello. Welcome to the expansive world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality, and dive into the shadow. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Continue to join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows, uniting us with it all. Okay, so welcome back, everybody. Today we are flying off the cuff a bit and we are interviewing, integrating, continuing to dive into shadow with our very dear Elfina Stephanie. Elfina is a dynamic pleasure priestess and coach co-creatrix of cis society. In addition, she guides as a psychedelic integration coach, published author, and tantra professional, devotional to empowering humanity. Her transformative journey out of a religious sexual repression fuels her resiliency in paving a new paradigm of liberation. Elfina's embodied leadership and fearless heart for her mission catalyzes others to rise into their truth. She's currently studying under Orgasm Queen Layla Martin, mastering the art of love, sex, and relationship coaching. Yay!
Yay.
Yay! I'm so excited to be doing this. Okay, so for those of you listening, Elfina recently moved through a very specific initiation that she will go more deeply into that ultimately brought her into the underbelly of the underworld and a very particular channel of shadow. And yeah, I feel called for you just kind of to introduce this process and what brought you there, and then we can kind of dissect it from that point.
Yeah, thank you for the beautiful introduction. And it's fun like being kind of on the other side of these conversations. I felt like this was part of my mission to do this initiation, to move through this specific initiation into the dark feminine, into the underworld of so much sexual stigma and sexual repression and judgment, which is working in a strip club. So I was like, when I got the invitation to go, I was terrified. One of my good friends here basically recruited me. She specifically said, Elfina, you'd be so good at this. You need to come with me. Let's go. And I was originally very resistant and scared. I had a lot of my own judgments around strip clubs, a lot of my own fears around being seen and taking up that radical amount of space and owning my sexuality unapologetically in that way, especially with the way that I grew up in a very religious Christian household where I wasn't even allowed to show my belly wearing shirts. But I felt deeply in my soul that there was curiosity and there was an openness and there was something that was calling me that was deeper and stronger than my egoic stories of shame and fear. So I devoted myself to staying open to the idea of it. And the more that I listened to spirit and to my higher self, it became very clear and synchronistic that this was indeed an alignment for me to go experience. And also, I feel that it really aligns well with the mission of cis society. We are a global community and platform that's devotional to destigmatizing sexuality. And what better way to do that than to fully immerse myself in one of the most stigmatized industries of sexuality that exists on the planet, which is strip clubs, exotic dancing, and so forth. So I kind of took it on as a sacred mission beyond just my own experience. Personally, I took it on as a mission of leading this company and being an advocate and a voice for the truth that I experienced in these places and come back and share with you guys my integrations, my experiences, the triumphs and the failures and everything in between of the journey that it is to work in this type of industry. So I know it's super juicy. I've had so many of my friends since I've been back dying to know all the details. They're like, Elfina, tell me everything. Oh my goodness. And I'm like, listen to my podcast. Just wait. I listen to the podcast and I'll go and hang there. Because it is just so, so layered. There's so many aspects of it. It's so much more than I even expected it to be, so much deeper and richer. And so I'm really excited that I did that, and for so many reasons. And I'm very grateful to be able to have this conversation now and to answer lots of questions that I'm sure lots of you are wondering, that Heather will probably channel through. And my goal is to really, bring the light to the darkness that is this industry. This industry has a lot of shadow. And I think that it's really important to highlight not only the shadow, but the light that exists that I really connected to. And I feel so lit up by since coming back. It felt like a major glow up for me.
Yeah. I can see it and feel it. I mean, upon your return, I mean, we were talking throughout your experience and checking in, and I was just feeling in my body, in the presence of you, just like these layers shedding, and, you know, the discomfort of like stepping into these places and all that you just spoke into, like the fear, the shame, the resistance, the light, the beauty of it all, just kind of just moving through your body in such a potent way. And to now be sitting here integrating, continuing to integrate and dissect what happened, I really feel your energy body is at a completely different place. Mm. Like, this medicine served you, boo. Like, it served you well. And what's coming through like right away is to kind of dive into the structural elements, like the more masculine elements of this experience, and then ultimately kind of zoom out into the esoteric and like the spiritual and the energetic elements that you move through. Because like, I shared this on the show, but Elfina and I were actually supposed to go together, and I didn't make it. Like, it was, I didn't make it. Not to say that it won't happen, but something came up. I got sick and I had to make a decision in the spur of the moment. And that moment was just like, okay, no, it's not for me right now. And she still went on and did it, which is just like hyper courageous and super badass. And what was coming up when I was sharing with people that I was going to do this and talking to you about it is like, anytime I was talking to a sister about it, they started to lean in. Like, their energy was like, wasn't like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're doing that. I would never do that. Every single sister that I spoke to came with a level of curiosity that ultimately led to a like, maybe I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So like, and I just found that to be both surprising and spectacular and magical. And so, yeah, like coming from, I would love to just rewind a bit in the timeline, like you've decided to go and do this thing. You know nothing about it. Like then what, like what's next, you know, like what, like if you could talk me through that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this this approach, going in with the more masculine structured story of it and then integrating with the perspective afterwards. So, like I said, a friend invited me. I was very fortunate that I had other friends here that also wanted to go with me and do this experience together, including a friend who had been a professional dancer. And so I really felt, even though you weren't able to come, I did feel that I had support in our little group, and that really, really helped me. So my first piece of advice for any woman that's considering doing this is to have strong support to go with you, especially if it is your first time. And that really made all of the difference, because inevitably there's a lot of experiences that came up that were unpredictable, that were more difficult emotionally, and I don't know what I would have done without my friends. And then also, it just makes it so much more fun, especially if you can work at the same club together. You can dance together. You can talk to, you know, people, clients together. It just creates more of a, more of like a pleasurable experience for you as a dancer. So support is number one. And when we put together our squad, we just had to get all the details ironed out. There's a lot of preparation that went into it, especially since we were dancing in a city that we don't live in. So we had to plan a whole trip on top of that. But the most important things I would say are, you know, you have to have like a very specific aesthetic when you go in there. Like, we come from a community that we live in the jungle. We go to ecstatic dance. We're naked. We're wild. We're free. We're, you know, we're wild women. So I definitely was very naive going in. I was like, oh, well, I'm a crazy ecstatic dancer. I'm a tantrika. I'm really comfortable in my sexuality and my body. But getting there and arriving and seeing this, being introduced to this whole new industry, this whole new world that I've never been a part of before, I was immediately humbled. I was like, oh my goodness, these girls are professionals. They've been doing this, some of them, you know, for decades. And the caliber of dance, the caliber of presence, the caliber of artistry in how you express yourself, whether it's with your hair and, you know, having extensions or colors in your hair or fake eyelashes or beautiful, vibrant makeup or like costume jewelry or like very specific types of clothing and archetypes that you dress up and present as, all the way to the heels. Like, you have to be dancing in stripper heels and dancer heels, which are anywhere from like 6 to 8, like 4 to 8 inches. And they're kind of hard just to walk in, honestly. That was my biggest fear before even getting there. I'm like, well, I've never even walked in a pair of these heels, let alone danced in them on stage, on a pole, in front of other people. What I was the most nervous for, was just walking in these heels, because I'm used to dancing barefoot. So all these things to prepare just in the aesthetics. And, you know, to some that may sound superficial or vain, but, and although there is a shadow of the vanity that exists there, where, yeah, you can get really caught in like how you look and being, you know, the perfect size, whatever that means, and having, you know, the makeup and the look and all of that. Although there is the shadow in that, of course, I personally really found there to be so much freedom of expression, of creative expression, that I just absolutely love to tap into. I love to dress up. I always have, since I was a child. I used to love dressing up and putting on heels and putting on different costumes and connecting to different characters and archetypes. And so one of my favorite parts about this experience was actually the preparation of just putting on a whole look, putting a whole persona together for the night, and then being able to be extra, extra, extra. You know, again, I live in the jungle. There's not that many occasions to really be that extra and dress up unless I'm going to a festival. And so it was so nice to just unapologetically be able to express myself to the max and be celebrated in that expression, and to show up in a place where there's all these other girls, all these other women who are so extra, like vibrant, movie star, you know, movie star looking, main character energy, I call it. Everyone's a main character. And I loved that part about this experience. And it really flexed and opened up muscles of creativity, and artistry and design that I'm integrating into my life coming back. And, like, you know, giving myself permission to do this more often. Like, I don't need a special occasion to dress up and feel super sexy and super beautiful and express myself. Like, I can do this whenever I want. And then, interestingly enough, I'm also managing a dance troupe here on the island. And now I'm in charge. I'm a big part of the costume and creative design part of that. So I just think it's so interesting how this all is integrating and connecting and being there and seeing these experiences of how women are sharing themselves, and now being able to bring that back to what I'm doing here. It's really beautiful. So that was like a big thing to prepare for that I didn't have any idea around. That's been really fun and rewarding. And let's see, the experience itself. So I'm going to just be very candid here and share what happened, because yeah, my journey, I'm sure, mirrors a lot of dancers out there. And I don't just want to candy coat it and tell you guys the highlights and the best parts. Like, I'm going to be honest and tell you the really challenging parts too. So how it works is you show up and you do a rehearsal, you audition to a song or two, depending on the club. And then they either give you a contract where you can work there whenever you want, or you don't get the contract, right? And I don't know, we were all under the impression that we would show up, we would get the first rehearsal that we auditioned at, and we would get the job. And so we're there, we're obviously all there because we need money. So we spend money on the flight, on the Airbnb, on the food, on the car, on the costumes, on all these things. And then we get there, we audition, and we all just get rejected from the first club. And we're all like, and this is like the club that my friend works at that we had all pretty much planned on working at. So we all audition, we all get rejected. We're like, okay, interesting. Didn't let it get us down too much, because we know that there's other clubs. We did some research. That's my other piece of advice. If you're going to go dance somewhere, I would have multiple options lined up, especially if you're new to the industry, because if you don't get in somewhere, you want to have backup options. And also you want to be dancing somewhere that you resonate with the most. So the first club that we auditioned at, I actually didn't really, my energy didn't resonate fully there. I didn't fully feel myself comfortable and see myself happily working there. So it was a divine redirect to working somewhere else. So the three of us went to the next club that I was really attached to working here. I thought it was so cute. They had all these themed rooms. Like, there was one room where, like, the lap dance rooms or like the private rooms, you know, where you can be booked, like a VIP room. And I can talk more about these because I want to destigmatize. Like, this is not a brothel. These women are not doing sexual things. Like, there are very clear boundaries. There's cameras in every room. There's bouncers in every room. And there is a lot of safety in these spaces. These women are dancers. They're professional dancers. They're not having sex. They're not prostitutes. I mean, again, the shadow is like, of course, there are women that could get propositioned for sex and do that outside of the club. But inside of these clubs, that's not happening. So I just want to make that really clear. But yeah, this club had really cool rooms, themed rooms. One room had roses all over the walls. Another room was like a movie themed room with couches and chairs, like comfy things, plants set up. They're all different vibes. And pink chairs and super clean. Like, these clubs were the nicest, cleanest, most like vibiest clubs I've ever seen. I used to go to strip clubs when I was younger, and some of them were a lot seedier, dirtier, kind of more grunge, like you would maybe think about when you think of strip clubs. But the ones that I went to were high caliber, like nice clubs. And the city I was dancing in, I'm just going to say it, in New Orleans, it's like a top city industry in the world for performance arts and for performance dancers. So they were really nice clubs. And I think that's also what we were naive about. We didn't realize that we were going into one of the top exotic dancing industries in the world, in one of the top cities, that it's the most competitive, right? And the most saturated for that. And then we were also going at a time of the year where we didn't know this, but all these dancers were coming back for football season. So a lot of these clubs are already really full on dancers. Half of them weren't even auditioning. So it was an interesting time when we were there. So we go to the next club that I'm really attached to, really excited about. We audition there, and all three of us, again, rejected. And at this point now, the first club I got rejected, I was like, well, whatever, that club wasn't for me. I was pretty detached. Second club, I was attached. And when I got rejected, I just immediately started crying. I was like, ah, like, I want to work here. I was like, fuck, what are we going to do? Like, we just came all this way from Hawaii. We spent all this money. We've been preparing for this for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we didn't get into either of these clubs. The other clubs weren't even auditioning. And we're starting to run out of options. So this was a part of the trip that was very unexpected. And it brought up a lot of different reactions in all of us. But I got to the point where I just had to surrender and listen. And when I started to listen, it became very clear to me that New Orleans wanted us to ground and to learn and to harmonize with the city before we just go there and try to take and get. And this is something I've experienced with all of my trips and all of my travels, is it usually takes a couple of days of consciously connecting to the land, connecting to the culture, connecting to the people, to actually harmonize and integrate. And then it's like the grid of that land opens up to you. And then all of a sudden, all these opportunities appear and everything flows and the alignment just opens up. And I'm like, we're meeting so much resistance because we literally just came here without even acclimating, without even knowing anything around this city, without even really going to do our homework and like watching these girls dance and asking them questions and seeing how they're dressed and seeing how they're dancing. Like, oh my goodness, like the city wants us to just land and to, you know, go spend money at the strip club, go buy a beer on Bourbon Street, go be an observer before you just go and try to get a job and try to make all this money. That was like the message that was coming through really loud and clear that first night. So my friend and I were like, oh, let's just go get a drink. We like get a drink on Bourbon Street. We just like let it go for the night. Like, okay, let's do our homework. Let's go back to the clubs and let's go watch. And so we go back to that first club that we got rejected from with a wad of dollar bills. And we just go sit up right on stage, right underneath the pole for a couple hours. And we just watch the girls. We just watch them dance. We see what they're doing. We're integrating. We're watching how they move. We're watching what they're wearing and how they're dancing. And we're talking to a lot of them. And it was so validating, honestly. I'm so glad we did this because every single girl we talked to was like, this is part of the industry. Like, you have to be able to deal with rejection if you want to be a professional dancer. Like, they're like, I cannot even count how many times I've been rejected. And they were all telling us that this one club was notorious for rejecting people. They usually would reject everyone on their first try. This dancer, this girl who had been a dancer for 13 years, said it was the first club she was ever rejected from. And they're like, yeah, you just gotta not give up. Just see what you can do, acclimate, come back and try again. And, you know, like, if you can't handle rejection, you shouldn't be in this industry, is basically what they're saying. You have to have tough skin. And so that really motivated me and boosted my confidence of like not to give up. And I knew that, don't give up. But then, you know, there is a part of me, that wounded inner child that was severely abandoned and rejected and outcasted by my peers growing up, that really got hurt when I was rejected publicly on stage, you know, in the most vulnerable, like when you're auditioning at these clubs, it's like the most vulnerable, it's one of the most vulnerable, scariest things you can do, to literally be naked and sell your sexuality to others and then to have someone tell you no. So it takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of guts. And even just, I would say, even if you just go audition and you get on the stages and you do that, like that is an initiation in itself. And that is something to be so proud of yourself for, because most people would never even put themselves in that position. So the next day I decide I'm going to go back to that first club. I'm going to re-audition now that I've received their codes. I change my look. I change the way that I'm interacting with the audience, with my eye gaze. I slow down my movements. I go alone. That's my other piece of advice. Don't audition with your friends. Go alone. wasn't the smart move, but we were all supporting each other, so it's fine. So I go back alone. I re-audition, and the audition goes so well. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this. And the manager comes up. He's really sweet. He's like, sorry, sweetheart, but I can't give you the contract. And I just feel super defeated. And I'm just so curious at this point. Okay, what? Why can't you give me this job? Like, I watched. I came back last night. I changed my look. I changed my vibe. I'm really trying to match your aesthetic and what you're looking for. And he goes, honestly, you just don't have our, you don't fit the look. And like, at this point, my deepest childhood traumas are being like wrenched out of my inner child, Aaron, who was like such a dweeb and had crooked bangs and braces and glasses. And I was really, really ridiculed and outcasted and bullied when I was young. And that's what it felt like. I literally felt like, wow, I'm literally being told I don't have the look to work here, which could create all sorts of stories in my mind around all, I'm not pretty enough, I don't have the right body type, blah, 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 blah. I could go into all these stories. And he even says, yeah, look at a Penthouse magazine model. And that's the type of dancer we're looking for. And so part of me was like, wow, ouch, that hurts. But then there was this larger part of me that was also very understanding of, well, there's nothing I can do, number one. If I don't fit the look, I don't fit the look. There's nothing I could have done differently to get the position. So that kind of alleviated this feeling of, I know that I did my best, and then I knew for sure that this just wasn't in alignment for me. Like, this club was not where I was meant to work. And then I felt like a relief, like, okay, I can let this go, and then I'll be guided to something else. And then there's this other part of me that I was like, these stories are not true. Like, I know I have such a beautiful body. I have great tits. I have a jiggly butt. I have a beautiful face. I have beautiful energy. I'm like, you know, this, it was just such a beautiful invitation for me to reclaim my worthiness and reclaim my beauty, inner and outer, and reclaim my, and celebrate who I am, independent of what the world tells me, independent of what the patriarchal strip club masculine, you know, society would tell me, regardless of what anyone else said. It was the universe is giving me this amazing invitation to radically reclaim my worthiness. And so that felt empowering as fuck. I was like, okay, I know who I am. I'm not going to let this get me down. Of course, it did bring up those wounds, and I really got to hold my inner child and cry with her and just tell her she belonged and tell her how beautiful she is and how radiant she is and that this is all happening for her. And at that point, there was really nowhere else to audition because, like I said, all the other clubs were full. And by that point, one of my friends had actually left. She had gone home or gone on her trip to somewhere else. Another one of my friends had decided that this wasn't for her and she didn't want to dance anymore. And so it was just me and my other friend left. And I just needed to let everything go at that point. I was like so set on my agenda of dancing and getting in and making money, and it just wasn't happening. So I was like, I really had to surrender and get to the point where I was okay with this trip just being what it was. I had to be okay with just spending money to come here and audition and fail at something that I thought I would be successful at, and to surrender and to trust that this was the medicine I needed. And if nothing else happened but me coming here to audition, to feel confident, to feel empowered, and to claim my worthiness, then yay, that's why I came here. And I trust that the money that I need for my schooling and to live would come through in another way that was more aligned. So at that point, I just decided I was going to be a tourist of New Orleans, and I was just gonna go enjoy the city. And interestingly enough, I go out the next day. I have a full day of just being a tourist in the city.
What?
Can you hear this background noise?
No, but I see
okay.
You laughing.
It's really loud on my end. So,
like, do I have something?
Interestingly
in my
enough, I decide to. I want to give you a moment before I continue on, because I've shared a lot. I want to give you a moment to reflect on what I've said so far and ask any other questions, and then I'll continue, because then the next part is like chapter two of the story.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to take a moment of silence and just feel all of the beauty and everything that you shared. Oh. Yeah, the word that keeps coming up through everything is compassion, right? Like, you went there with this attachment, an idea of what you wanted, and then you were like deeply humbled both by like the professionalism of this community, right? Like, it really is, and you said a theatrical performance, right? And like something came through in that space of like, would you go to a Broadway show without rehearsing, without knowing the lines, and just be like, okay, I'm ready, put me on stage, you know? Like, I'm ready to be on the Broadway show. And they're like, but you don't know your lines. Like, you've never rehearsed, you've never met the rest of the team. Like, and that was just coming through as you were sharing, and like how much compassion was like brought up in your being for that industry, right? And thinking like, oh, anyone can be a stripper, just go there and dance and you just do it. But just recognizing all of the back work and all of the intention and all of the time that it's taken before that and all of the moments that have led up to that, right? It's not just like, okay, I'm gonna do it one day. It's like you're taking dance classes, you're studying, you're acclimating to the energy of the space. Like, you're going to school for it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like you went there and you were like humbled and like brought to the space of compassion through this process. And then also just the beauty of the self-compassion that was generated through the levels of rejection that you received, right? And just being like, oh, I got this, I'm a dancer, I'm gonna do it. And then just being like, no, no, no. And you having to go deeper and deeper into these wounds and hold them and sit with them and get curious around them and fucking like emerge like a phoenix through the ashes, which I know is this next chapter, because I feel it in my bones. I feel it in my bones. Like, it is the hero's journey that you were on, right? Like, you went through the hero's journey. And so, yeah, I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge everything that you shared up until this point and everything that you went through and just how texturally profound it is. Like, how when we choose to go into these spaces of shadow, we will face our shadow. And we think it might be in a different shape or form, but the truth of the shadow will come up and it might look differently and feel differently and come in the shape and form of a different experience. But like, when you go into these places or you sit with shadow work, it's like, you're going to get it. Like, you're going to get it. And through it, there's a lot of love and forgiveness and ultimate innocence in it. You know, it's like you're brought back to your inner child and these tender parts of her that were hurt. And so, yeah, it's fucking badass. And I'm just so excited for the next chapter. I feel like this is an audiobook and we're just like chapter two. Okay. So
thank you for like bringing up the Broadway analogy. And it reminded me of something else I wanted to share, because that's exactly what I said when we were there. I feel like we came to Broadway and we auditioned for our very first time in a play, and we expect to get a main role on Broadway. And they're like, Yo, you guys never even been in a professional play before.
Never
So,
acted before. Like, what are you
yeah,
doing?
that was such a good analogy. And it was extremely humbling. And the industry is so much more than just dancing. And I'm going to go into that in the second part, but it's so much more than just dancing. And so I have so much respect for these women and really how strong and resilient and empowered that you have to be to hold yourself in these spaces and do it successfully. So another thing that happened from auditioning and being rejected. Oh, I didn't tell you this part, but then I went back to that club that the second club that I was really attached to working at the next day to watch my other friend audition there. And as I'm sitting there just watching her audition, the manager who had auditioned me the day before goes, "Sorry, hon, it's still a no." And I'm just like, "The fuck? I didn't even audition. You just had to come reject me again? Like, goodness gracious, how many times is the universe gonna externally reject me so that I get to internally embrace myself over and over and over again?" And it was just like such deep medicine for me, honestly. And I realized how many times in my life have I externalized validation and acceptance from others in order to feel my worthiness. And there was no one else to validate me but myself in these scenarios. And it was in the deepest, most tender ways of letting myself vulnerably be seen in some of the most tender places that I have been most insecure about, like my body. I had an eating disorder when I was young. So that was a reclamation of knowing that my body is beautiful and not letting someone else's perception of what they want on their stage skew with my body image. And then also owning my sexuality, which I grew up really very, very, very Christian, religious, and all of these things were super taboo. I mean, that just having this conversation and putting this conversation out on the internet is a big edge for me because I know that inevitably some of my family will see this and they're going to have their own ideas and judgments around this. So, yeah, I'm breaking a lot of chains. I was breaking a lot of chains just doing this in my lineage and feeling really uncomfortable. Like before going on this trip, I even felt uncomfortable at points being sexy in front of my partner. Like there was this blockage and this barrier to letting myself fully be seen in my sexiness without laughter, without making it a joke, without kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like there was like a barrier in letting myself really be witnessed in my sexuality. And so when I allowed myself to really be witnessed in my sexuality for like the first time, and then getting rejected, it definitely like brought up deep, deep, deep feelings that I have not felt in years and years and years and years. Because in recent years, I felt very accepted and embraced by my community and my friends and lovers. But yeah, this was deeply buried inside of me of feelings that I've not felt and tapped into since I was young. So I'm really grateful that they did come to the surface, and it was such a beautiful opportunity to rewrite that part of my life. I feel like when we go back to these inner childhood places and wounds, we have the opportunity to almost tap into that timeline and rewrite that timeline. So it's like that timeline now is told in a different way. My body remembers that time in a different way, and I'm not still unconsciously cycling in those stories that are keeping me playing small. And as we know, our sexuality is directly connected to our power and money and all of these things that so many of us are really desiring to cultivate in our lives. And I really believe the root to a lot of these blockages is around our sexuality and feeling connected to our sexuality, connected to our pleasure, and liberated in that way. So back to the story, I was very humbled and I was curious and I decided, okay, I'm going to be a tourist, number one. And number two, I'm going to take a dance class. I'm going to take a couple dance classes because something that ignited in me on stage was so much joy dancing. I was talking to my brother on the phone, integrating this experience a couple days in. And I remember saying to him, you know, if nothing else, I know now how much I love to perform and how much I love to dance. It felt so good to be on stage wearing these sparkly, beautiful unicorn heels, to be seen, to just express myself. And I really want to cultivate this style of dance more. And for those of you guys that have never been to a strip club, it's a different style of dancing than any other style of dancing out there. It's very slow. It's very sensual. It's very intentional. It's, you're basically almost simulating sex and sexual acts on stage and then making really direct eye contact. And you're mesmerizing, you're enchanting someone with your sexual energy, but they're not allowed to touch you and they're not allowed to say anything when you're on stage. So it's kind of this beautiful portal where you're protected and you're safe and you have your, we had our panties on too. It's just topless, panties on. So it felt very safe, but also like, well, you're commanding the whole room with your yoni, with the power of your yoni and the power of your love and the power of your heart. I believe it's those two combined that really make the most impactful dancer. So I'm sorry, you can't hear this in the background, this power tool. It's crazy. There's like, they're doing major tree chopping here and it's very loud, and it kind of relates to what I'm talking about with these obstacles that are falling down. So I decided to take a heels class, a dance class that teaches you how to dance in the heels. Like I said, walking in the heels is already just a mission in itself. So I learned how to dance in the heels a little bit. I was feeling more confident. I took an intro to pole class and that was really fun. And I was just enjoying being in the city and learning and being more on the, on like the observer side of things. And I got knocked down a couple pegs by the universe. The universe is like, okay, humble yourself, learn, and stay open. So I remember talking to my brother. I remember saying verbatim, I said, I just want somebody to let me dance on their stage. I don't even care about the money anymore. I just want to dance. And then after getting off the phone with him, I had this miraculous experience, which I'm not going to go into details on this call, but it was very good omen for me. And then when I got home to my apartment that I was staying at, one of my girlfriends said, hey, we have an audition tonight at this other club. It's a local spot. And do you want to go? And so just like that, as soon as I had really surrendered, I had let go of expectations and I had declared my desire of just my joy for dancing. And then an opportunity came to me without having to seek it out. And it was off of the main Bourbon Street area. It was in a local spot. So it was more chill. And we get there and I immediately just felt like my nervous system felt a lot more at ease. And the girls there were so, 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 so friendly. And everyone was really individualized and expressed. And that made me feel really safe because like that first club that I auditioned at twice, they wanted everyone to kind of look the same. They specifically said, we want our girls to look the same. They have the same vibe, the same look, wearing the same color. And I'm just like, that's not me. You know, I'm like a sparkly rainbow unicorn. Like, try to make me look like everyone else. Good luck. Like, it's not going to work. I can't be boxed in. I can't be diluted. I have to, and especially in this setting, I have to be able to express myself. And I'm a Leo and I have a lot of Leo. My Venus is in Leo. My Chiron is in Leo, which anyone that's listening, Chiron is your deepest wound. And so it was interesting because this trip definitely brought up my deepest wound around being seen which Leo is all about entertaining, performing, confidence. It's that solar plexus energy and the heart energy. And it's all about being seen and witnessed. So there's a deep, deep wound I have around that. But at the same time, my sun sign and my Venus, which is like my personality, the way that I'm supposed to shine in the world and the way that I'm most supported with like money and enjoyment, is all around Leo. So it's so interesting that like the big blockage is the thing that will actually liberate. It's like the thing I want the most is also what's been blocking me. So this trip was very healing for me to work through that Chiron energy and to reclaim all of that Leo fullness that wanted to come through my greatness. It's that sovereign, royal, regal queen energy that's like, I'm a queen bee. I want to take up all of this space. I'm deserving and worthy of taking up this space. Look at me. And that's a lot just to even say, but then to embody that, whoa. So I get there, we audition, and we get in. We get accepted. They're like, yeah, we're going to give you guys the contract. And I remember like saying to him, like, oh, really? I was like, surprise. And my friend's just like super confident. I'm like, really? I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. I'm just like, okay, confident, yeah. And then he's like, okay, we're going to start you guys working tonight. So we just go straight into it. And then that's where I ended up working the rest of my time there. For about 10 more days, I was there. And it was a real, real life stripper boot camp. I learned so much. I initiated through so much. And yeah, and I guess I'll stop there. And then you can ask me more specifically around experiences that I had while I was working. But I'm so grateful that all the other places rejected me. And then I'm really grateful that I got to that rock bottom point where I just had to surrender. I had no other choice but to surrender, to reclaim my joy, and then to be realigned to somewhere that I could not have imagined being somewhere better. The money, it wasn't as busy there. I didn't make as much money, but I quickly realized getting there that this trip wasn't about money. It's opening up, ironically enough, since going and coming back, my money channels have been opening up in so many other ways. So it did help me with money, but not in that immediate sense of I'm going to get money from this trip doing this. It was more of the surrender that came through the experience, the creativity that came through the experience, the openness, the curiosity, the empowerment that came through the experience has now opened up like 3 or 4 new money channels in my life. And it's pretty wild that that portal has been so activating in so many ways. So yeah.
Super luscious, like just the whole experience, so luscious and so nourishing. Just like when you finally surrender and let go of something, that's when it has the space to come in. And then that what we think we're going to get from the space isn't what we actually need, right? What we want isn't what we need, and it's not always what we get, but we get something so much richer. And it's like this like deep initiation into what you moved through, which is where I'm being guided to talk about in this next, we'll call this chapter 3. This is chapter 3.
Yeah. Saga. This chapter is a true heroine saga journey.
It literally is. This is like, I feel like we can probably just like transcribe this to a book after, you know? anyway, like keep an eye out for those of you listening, book coming soon. Yeah, I would love. So you finally got into this club and you're working and you're there and you're doing it and you there's this cocktail that brought you there, right? Like this level of preparation, being humbled, sitting with your shadow and rejection, sitting with your fear and your shame, and then ultimately surrender, right? Like this is kind of a universal equation. And now that you're there, I would love to dive into more of the energetics of what's happening at these clubs, right? Because I've been to clubs before. I have my ideas and stories around them, but like in regards to interacting with individuals and holding your boundaries, like what does that space look like? Like I would love to just kind of, you mentioned that a lot of other things came through in the energetic realm, and I would love to hear more about what you've now digested in that space.
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is that there are so many layers that go into this job. I had the idea that most of it would be dancing and performing, which was what I was most attracted to. But you're only really dancing and performing, depending on how many girls are working, depending on where you're working, a third or a fourth or even less of the time. And the rest of the time, you are socializing. You are connecting with the people that come into the club. And so if you're thinking about doing this and you just want to dance and you don't want to talk to people, then good luck. This is not the job for you. Because a big part of your job requirements is being able to just be friendly and open and have conversations with strangers that walk in and make connections and form rapport and trust. I was in a sales position back when I lived in California, and I was really good at it. And I had to kind of tap back into that part of me, of like, okay, what makes successful sales? Well, you have to obviously like know what you're selling, which in our instance is a lap dance or a VIP room, or just, you know, if they like you, they can just give you money. They just might just give you money, or they might tip you a lot when you're on stage and you're dancing. And a big part of that is building rapport, which is all about building trust and genuine connection. And I feel like I'm really good at that naturally. Like I love to drop in. I drop in pretty deep with strangers right away. I feel like I'm a very friendly person, but it was interesting because I had a lot of stories around who might come in, like older, creepy men, and how am I going to connect with them? And I had been wearing a lot of armor around my heart and my physical body around men in general. I noticed that it was a little challenging to find the balance where you feel like you can be open and sweet, but also have boundaries, because not a lot, but some of the men in there will try to cross your boundaries. I got propositioned to have sex almost every night I worked, which is a very regular thing. Men will ask you, they'll ask to pay to have sex with you. And then you have to tell them over and over again that I'm not a prostitute. This is not something I'm available for, interested in. No, thank you. And so there's a lot around using your voice in these spaces. As we know, the voice and the sacral are directly connected. And I found that in my life, when I haven't felt sexually safe, it's usually because I've neglected to use my voice to speak my boundaries and to speak into places that I have not felt safe. And so this was like a beautiful opportunity to just speak my truth in such an affirmative, powerful way, and know that I can keep myself safe and that I had backup. Like these security guards, their whole job is to make sure we're safe. So if someone's not respecting the boundaries I'm setting, then someone else will. And I felt like I really had full permission to speak my truth and not be afraid of what, you know, might happen from that place. And so I really saw such a transformation in my ability to just hold my ground, hold my center, to speak clearly, and to do it in a way that was really balanced. Because of course, we don't want to cause shame and we don't want them to feel rejected. So this was another, I feel like this whole job is all about balance. Like you want to be sexy, but you don't want to be too explicit. You want to be nice, but you don't want to be overly giving where you're talking to someone for hours and they're not paying you anything and they're kind of just wasting your time. You want to be charming, but you don't want to be manipulative, right? Like that's another big shadow to this industry. Something my partner pointed out, who just going to highlight him for a moment and say, what an incredible supportive partner that I have, who is cheerleading me on in these spaces, and holding space for me in my process and empowering me to do something like this. And one of his main worries was, well, you know, I just feel like there's a lot of manipulation where these girls are just trying to get men to fall in love with them just to take their money. And at first that triggered me because it was true. Yeah, like that's true. Like that is a big shadow. And that's been a shadow in my life. Like, honestly, it's one of my main gene keys is the shadow of manipulation. And the siddhi of that is transparency. And so I've really worked with that a lot through my life of like, okay, how can I be more transparent? How can I be more transparent? And so I think that having that conversation with him really helped me to look at the industry and do it in a way with as much integrity as possible. And I promised myself, I'm not going to manipulate these men. I'm going to be transparent. And so instead of leading them on, like, I'm going to be your girlfriend, or, you know, we're in love, or just giving them compliments that weren't genuine or authentic, I promised myself that I was going to be transparent. And the way to do that is by clearly stating, you know, that this is an exchange, right? Like this is a clear exchange. You're here seeking a connection. They're here. And what I would say is these people that come into the clubs, men and women, there are people of all ages, all ethnicities, all genders, although mostly men, there were women that would come in. There were couples that would come in, that like partners that would come in together. And it being very clear that they're here for connection. There, a lot of them don't even care as much about like getting a lap dance. I think the majority of people that come in are actually really just looking for connection. And so I think that it's a very interesting psychological phenomena because I mean, my mind is wanting to go in so many directions. I'm trying to be really clear and go one thing at a time, but there's just so many directions I could go in because speaking to this transparency piece, I wanted to be really clear that I wasn't leading them on and that it makes sense to me that they're here for an exchange, like an exchange to witness my beauty and the way that I'm dancing and performing, an exchange for my presence in being in a deep present conversation with you, with giving you my attention, with giving you my presence, and with giving you my love. And then if I'm giving you another, like a more personalized dance or personalized experience, of course, then the energy exchange is money. It's like, of course, that's why I'm here. Like, I wouldn't just be here if there wasn't money involved, you know? And I said that to a few guys because they're like, well, I just like to come in and watch the girls dance and just talk. I'm like, that's great. But like, we're not here to just talk and dance. Like, we deserve to be reciprocated. And so again, I was given the opportunity so many times to claim my worthiness in these spaces around money, around energy exchange. You had to really learn the art of, okay, how long do I talk to somebody for versus, and then like, do I want to talk to them? Is this going somewhere? Are they actually going to pay me anything? Or is it, maybe it's not about the money. Maybe like this is a reciprocal conversation and they're bringing something to me that's valuable. Like for instance, I met a man there who ended up being a photographer and we ended up doing a whole beautiful professional photo shoot together that he just gave me all these incredible photos for free. So in that exchange, that was very reciprocal for me, right? But in other exchanges, people are there kind of just to vampire you in a way. They're there just to take and they don't really care to give. And so I was getting so much advice from the girls of like, if you're not getting really anything in reciprocation within like the first 10 minutes, then it's a waste of your time. Try connecting with someone else. So It was a lot of psychology, honestly, which was my major. And I think it's so fascinating of, okay, like, how long do I spend with this person until I ask? And then when you ask for a lap dance, like, would you like a lap dance or a VIP room? How do you do that? How do you ask in a way that's sexy and that's inviting them to think that it's like their idea almost, but also like in an assertive way and not too submissive, and playing the dynamics of being assertive but not pushy, and receptive but not wishy-washy. Like, it was so, and I was just, after 10 Ooh. days, I'm just starting to learn, you know, there's so much deeper that I could have gone that these girls become masters at. They really become masters. I got a lot of good advice. I remember something one of my friends told me there was just, she's like, I just know my client. When my client walks in the door, it's like an intuitive, full knowing of that's my client. And I just go up to them and we start connecting. And it doesn't take you connecting with every person that walks in the door or being busy all night. All it takes is having even one or a few good clients that you just really connect with, that your intuition is like, yes, I like them. Yes, this is a genuine connection. I'm not forcing it. I'm not just doing it because I'm here. I'm doing it because we're actually connecting about something. And that's the other misconception. I think people think that everyone's just faking it. But I was only having conversations with people that I felt connected, like that I wanted to have a conversation with. And I was only talking about things that interested me. And I think that people definitely will be, that's a more magnetic energy when you're in your authenticity. And so, yeah, all it takes is having even one good client that really loves you and just tips you out a bunch of money and spends a bunch of money on you, or maybe gives you a photo shoot or whatever it is. And then maybe they're a returning client. And then every time they come back, they come to you. So a lot of these girls had regulars, and they would have just their regulars that would come in, that would want to come see them. And most of the time, you're just talking to people. It's very innocent. And it's very, actually very heart connected, the way I was doing it. A really big mission of mine going in was to be in my pleasure priestess and activate my high priestess energy. So I had the intention that I was going to activate these men's hearts, that I was going to open their hearts, that I was going to do some eye gazes and some kundalini magic and support the men that came in looking for that, whether it was conscious or subconscious. And I did have some really beautiful experiences, particularly with this man on the last night I was working. And he came in and we instantly were connecting and just eye gazing and just looking into each other's souls. And I was just like, had my hand on his heart. And he was just like, oh my God, my heart is like opening right now. I don't know what's happening. And he was telling me about his girlfriend and just that he's in a very abusive, emotionally, physically abusive relationship. And he doesn't know what to do. And I was just kind of sharing him with him about my relationship. Like, again, I'm not hiding that I'm in a relationship just so I'll be more desired, right? Like, this is just an example of being transparent in these spaces. And everyone is going to approach it differently. But I vowed to myself, I will be transparent. And if I ever feel that I'm feeling disempowered, or this isn't fun for me anymore, or that I'm going out of integrity, then I will not do this. And I made that promise to myself before going in. And so then I'm in these spaces. And yeah, I was very transparent with him. And we just had such a deep connection where he was like, you're literally changing my life right now. And really seeing me and reflecting back what he was seeing. And I was reflecting back what I was seeing and just sharing with him around love and freeing that love and being that love. And, you know, he didn't end up giving me any money, but it was fine. It was like, this is, it was almost this download from the goddess of, this is, you think that all these other reasons you're here, which they're surface level reasons, they're reasons, but underneath all of these other reasons, the real core reason that you're here is to be a pleasure priestess, to initiate and activate these men's hearts and open them. Just You don't even have to talk with them, like just through your eye gaze, just through your presence, you're activating. And then I started to look around the room and see these women who are just so sexy, sexy beyond belief. I mean, the things that I've seen, just taking in these codes, just watching these women jiggle their ass in like 20 million ways that I'd never even knew you could jiggle your body, and seeing them just so confident and so embodied and so powerful. Like, wow, all of these women are pleasure priestesses. And whether they've been initiated into that lineage or they're aware of their power and responsibility in that, that's what they are. And then I had this download that strip clubs have the potential to be like one of the biggest portals for sexual healing on our planet. And imagining a world if all of the strippers that worked in the strip clubs, or a lot of them, were going in like with the intentions that I had of being a pleasure priestess and being transparent and being authentic and connecting to these men's hearts and using their sexuality, that Kundalini energy, using our sexuality to heal the heart, because the way that a man's channel works is his heart actually opens up through his sexual center. So when his sexual center is ignited and open, then his heart can fully open. And so in these spaces, there's incredible opportunity for really deep sexual healing to occur. And a lot of the men that are going into these clubs are really looking for sexual healing. Probably a lot of them are maybe more addicted to porn, or are feeling empty in some way, or seeking some connection, or seeking something that they're not feeling fully satiated with. And not all of them. A lot of people go to strip clubs just because they're fun. I used to go to strip clubs just because it was fun and a fun thing to do. And so I'm not saying like everyone that goes is wounded. I think that's a really big stigma. And I think a lot of people just go because it's beautiful to watch a sexy woman dance. Like, why wouldn't you want to go watch a sexy woman dance and have a drink and hang out with your friends, right? But I also do believe that there is a lot of deep shadow that lives in these places, which we can go into more. Because I was talking about a lot of the light, but there is a lot of shadow. Like, there are a lot of people that go in there and are disrespectful. There's a lot of strippers that end up having eating disorders and body dysmorphia because they want to look perfect. There's a lot of strippers that end up being very manipulative and use their sexuality to control. And there's also a lot of addiction. I've seen a lot of girls become very disassociated and rely on substances and drugs and alcohol to cope with what they're doing and feeling like they're selling their bodies and selling themselves, which is the opposite of empowerment, which is disempowerment and disassociation. So these are all very valid shadows that definitely exist in this field. But I feel like these shadows are already very well known and talked about. And so I'm really here to bring more of the light, because in my experience as an anchored woman, I felt very, very, very empowered through my experience, even though it did bring up uncomfortable feelings through the entire experience, like integrating the experience. I felt like I became a superhero. I literally received a cape, like a costume cape, synchronistically at the end of my trip. Like, wow, I'm a real superhero now. And that's how I felt. I felt, if I can come do this, then I can do anything. And yeah, I would love to, I don't know if this is my mission per se, but I would love to see there be some sort of conscious strip club academy that would like initiate strippers into their pleasure priestess embodiment. And then, or we just have a bunch of pleasure priestesses who are already initiated go learn how to be a stripper, and more women who are like me and you, who are grounded and powerful, magical women, we learn to go be shadow workers. Like, this is what a light worker is to go into the spaces that are the darkest and most shadowy, and to bring our light into those spaces. It's not just to like stay comfortable in our like spiritual communities and hide away. And no, being a light worker means not being fearless to go into these spaces. And I felt like I was really a light worker in this space, and that these are people that I would have never normally connected with, you know, never normally connected with. And just my presence and me looking at someone and me being there and me dancing and sharing my grace. And that was just so healing for both of us, for all of us. And so, yeah, I would love to see more women like us go into these spaces with consciousness and with love and really activate from the underworld, activate the underworld to change the world around us through these spaces. And I want to empower anyone listening who is interested in something like this to take everything I say with a grain of salt, because you're going to have your own experience, but to be, to know that your experience, you're going to have the full experience. There's going to be shadow. There's going to be light. There's going to be triumph. There's going to be failure. You're going to have probably every emotion you can imagine surface through different experiences with different people. Because once you get the job too, there's still more rejection, right? Like, there's constant rejection you have to deal with when you're on stage and you give a really sexy, beautiful dance and no one tips you. Or when you go up to someone and you're talking to them and you ask them to give them a lap dance and they say no. Or whatever it is, like, and then you go see them talk to someone else. Like, you are constantly becoming more resilient. You're constantly attuning. And that's why I think there is so much shadow. Because if you're not strong and your sense of value and self-worth is not strong, that can break you. That could break anyone. And in order to do this successfully, I really believe that, like, number one, you have to be strong in who you are, know your worthiness, and then number two, have support. Like I said, if you can go with friends, or if you can't, like, have a strong support system, like a partner or a friend you can call that can be an anchor through this experience. And then number three, you have to have a lot of good practices, grounding practices before you go in, and self-care practices for when you get out. I cannot tell you, my legs were covered in bruises. My body was beat up. Dancing is not easy on the body. It's not easy on the mind. It's not easy on the emotions. You work graveyard shifts. You work till 4 or 5 in the morning, and then it takes hours sometimes to unwind and go to sleep. And sometimes you're there for hours without making any money, and you're dancing and dancing and dancing and not making any money. So there's a lot that goes into it. And I'm an expert in self-care, I would say. I'm very good at self-care. And even I was, like, challenged at, wow, I need to be giving myself more self-care, like massages and affirmations and Epsom salt baths, you know, and just, like, really pouring a lot of love into yourself. And then also, like, protection, energetic, physical, spiritual protection, putting protection around you. And then also cleansing your aura and cleansing your energetic field after interacting and being seen by so many people also is really important. And then also physical protection. So, you know, they have the security there that are protecting you at work. And then they'll also walk you to your car. But, you know, there's always the possibility for there to be stalkers and weirdos. So you really have to be extra aware and do whatever you can to keep yourself safe. And yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. But, like, we had a circle in our group. So every day before we went into our shift, we would set intentions for our shift. We would share experiences that were coming up, challenging, and then we would celebrate each other. And so that was, like, a ceremonial way to really anchor our experience and support each other through the experience. And I don't know how girls do this job day to day without all of these things. And now I have so much more compassion and understanding for why a lot of these women go off the rails. Because if you don't have these strong support systems and a strong internal compass with your integrity, and you don't have good self-care practice and good discernment and boundaries, like, this industry could really take you down. It could really take you down into some dark places. But on the other end, if you do have the support and the strength and the resiliency and the consciousness to master it, you have the ability to be completely financially sovereign, financially free, feel the sexiest you've ever felt, the most confident and empowered that you've ever felt. Like, you can do anything and you can talk to anyone and you have such clear boundaries and like a radical reclamation of the innate magic that our sexuality is, that we've been really disconnected from, especially as women. Like, we have been made to fear our sexuality, when in reality, our sexuality is our superpower and it's our life force energy. And I would judge it a lot before. I was like, oh, strippers are just, you know, using their sexuality for money. And now I'm like, wait, but why wouldn't I use my sexuality for money? It's like, what? Why does that have to be a negative thing? If it's done with integrity, transparency, and empowerment, then why the fuck not? There's so much judgment around that, but it's like, I don't know. Goddess gave me this beautiful body, and I love to dance, and I love to connect. Why am I sitting here feeling like I can't pay rent, and I feel super disempowered, and like I'm poor, and all these things, when I could literally change that, and I could just go out there and take control of my life in a way. And so it just really flipped the script on the way that I'm living now and the way I see the world and the way that I interact and coming back. Yeah, it's like definitely changed my life here coming back. It's really interesting to see how it's been integrating.
Yeah.
I'm going to like pause there before I like, you know, maybe one more chapter after this, but give you like a chance to absorb everything.
Ooh. Wow. I mean, I feel like there's not much to say. It's more of a feeling, right? This transmission is invoking it's the birthplace of a paradigm shift within the space of shadow. And it's also, it's like fertile soil for what can grow in the garden of this very conversation, right? Like, you brought up before you even said it, like the potentiality of some sort of retreat or school or experience that's holding space for women to go into these places feeling secure, empowered, safe, like open, like having everything that they need, and then being like actually walked through the process of stepping into this world is just like a concept that's blowing my mind. And it's like something that I want to sign up for, but it doesn't even fucking exist yet. I mean, like, we're talking about it, it's starting to take shape, and whether that's like through you, through us, like through someone else, it's coming through right now. And if we don't decide to do it, it will ultimately, you know, choose someone else to bring it to life. But yeah, I'm feeling my sacral feels super activated. I feel deeply in my power, and not in my power, like I'm powerful. It's like, I feel powerful in the sense that like my truth is my power, right? And speaking my truth is my power. And we've kind of judged these places of sexual expression, because ultimately underneath it, there was a fear, right? There was a fear that our sexuality wasn't safe. If we expressed it, mm-hmm. we would get hurt, that we weren't safe in these spaces. And what we're remembering now is, with the power of our voice and our energy and our truth and our knowing, we can step into these places. Knowing that we're held by our inner knowing, we're held by the divine, like, and there's this new level of trust coming online in my body. So I want to express gratitude for you and everything that you've moved through, because you represent the body of the collective. It's not just you, right? You're birthing this for the whole earth. And like, it was a ceremony. Like, it sounded like a plant medicine ceremony. You freaking went through all of the emotions. You went through everything. The range, the gamut that's within the space of the human experience. And you did it in a short period of time. Like you went in and did like, shadow work, like 101, but then you ended up graduating from like Harvard, in shadow work. Like you really fucking did it. I'm
Kinky
just
Harvard
kinky
Academy.
Harvard. Anyway, I'm super excited to see like what transpires from this conversation. And for those of you listening, if you have ideas and something's coming through that you desire in this space, like please comment or reach out to us and let's like keep this conversation alive. Let's keep it going. I'm just noticing my battery is about to die in like about 5 to 7 minutes. So that's leading me to begin to wrap this up, given that information. And so chapter four, I would love to just be like super zoomed out, like observation mode from the eyes of the divine, like anything that's coming through your channel that desires to be seen, desires to be heard, that desires to be held, that desires to be shared. Now is the time.
So something you said really stuck out to me was feeling safe around men. And even on the last night I was there, I had this epiphany of, oh, I'm the one in control. I can create whatever scenario I want. And I remember saying, I'm going to manifest the perfect dream client. It's just going to walk in. I'm going to know right away. He's going to know right away. We're just going to connect. He's going to be someone I would want to connect with anyway. And then he's going to just want to give me money and we're going to have such a fun time. Instantly, as soon as I was done saying that, I see this guy smile at me, sweet kid. And yeah. It was like he paid me for a dance, and I was like, "You're paying me for this? This is really fun for me." And it just started to switch all these gears. And then coming back, I realized like how much armor I was wearing around men and not feeling safe around men. And even just with friends, like letting them become friends, I had this story that they would want something more, it would lead to something more. And I've noticed that I've done a lot of de-armoring since coming back, and just knowing that I am the sovereign creatress of my life, and I will always be able to keep myself safe. If I can keep myself safe in a setting like a strip club, I can keep myself safe any setting, anywhere, with anyone. And it's really been having ripple effects now, and I'm seeing all the places in my life where I've been pushing men away, and now where I'm really welcoming them back into my life, equally as women, as friends, and feeling safe with them. And I just recently got like this massage done, and he basically went into my subconscious, like my friend went into my subconscious, like my nervous system. And he was like, oh yeah, we like took out all this subconscious trauma that your body was holding. That when I like touched you before, you would like respond. And now when I'm touching you, like you're not responding. So like I literally energetically and physiologically in my body removed the armor. And so, yeah, I'm trying to wrap this up, but I feel a lot safer in myself. I feel that I feel a lot less shame in expressing all of me, and that I can navigate even the darkest spaces with the brightest light and the most temptation with utmost integrity. And so, in that way, I've also cultivated more trust in myself, not just in others, but in myself. I trust myself. In this whole new way of knowing that no matter what life throws at me, I am resilient. No matter what happens, I will be successful. And I have, and also that the more I surrender, that the more control I actually have. And what I mean by that is that when we just have this one plan and this one idea of how our life needs to look, we actually really blocking ourselves from the infinite ways that the universe can support us and show up and opportunities it can bring us. And this trip showed me that the moment I surrendered, all these other opportunities came through, and not just dancing at this club. Like, I have a new job now as a psychedelic integration coach, which opened up from this trip. And that's just one example of all these other opportunities that came through me just saying, I don't know. I don't know what the best plan or pathway is for me. Thank goodness I don't know. I don't want to know. I want to be surprised by life. I want better than I can even imagine. And when we actually really remove our egos and our narratives that are wound so tight in expectations and attachment to how we think things should be or how we want them to be, and we loosen them up and let them unravel and surrender, then we're in for the sweetest of surprises. I truly believe that, and I continue to see that play out in my life. So if I could leave this conversation with anything, it's just the sweetness of surrender and the reminder of it's a duality, it's a paradox. It's like the sweetness of surrender and at the same time the reclamation of the power that we always have as sovereign creators of our lives. And I think that helps me to surrender even more, because I know that if I'm the creator, then what is there to fear?
That's a cherry on a sweet, sweet Sunday, baby.
Yeah.
If I'm the creator, what is there to fear?
The only thing there is to fear is fears that live inside of me. So the more that I excavate my own fears and face them and liberate myself from them, then I'm creating my most liberated dream life. Co-creating the universe. Co-creating with the universe.
Yeah. This
yeah.
Sweetness of surrender, right? It's really moving through me right now and letting go of my idea of how I want something to be, which is ultimately self-inflicted suffering and limitation. Moving into a space of a deeper knowing where literally anything is possible, and that's true surrender. That's truth. That's the truth that they talk about that will set you free, right? Everyone's like, the truth will set you free, but it's now taking on this much deeper, richer meaning of, yeah, this deeper truth, this connection to source in love, in honoring of ourselves and our inner truth that's coming through, that's the sweet nectar. That's the sweet nectar that liberates us. Mm-hmm. And you're an example of that very liberation sitting before us. I'm in. I wanna do this next round. Count me in. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. And I do want to say before this hangs up too, that I felt really inspired to activate my OnlyFans and start a Patreon account where I will be doing sexy strip dances. Ooh. And sharing like sexy photos. So for anyone that's listening and interested, I'm gonna link my profiles to both of those in the show notes. That was also what came through the trip, was like, well, I love to do this. I don't have to like wait for a novelty experience to do this. I can do this all the time from the comfort of my own home and practice and share the codes of what I've ignited here and share them with the world. So yeah, that feels really exciting too.
Beautiful. Like wow.
A whole new chapter is opening up from this. And it like brought back so much sexiness to how I just like interact with like in confidence and how I interact, you know, in my intimate relationships and with my partner. So I'm very grateful for the experience, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I wouldn't change any part of it. It's so perfect in every way. And I'm really grateful that I had a chance to share with all of you guys. So I hope this inspires you and supports you wherever you are in your journey, whether you're just destigmatizing what your perceptions were around stripping and exotic dancing, or if you're like, fuck yeah, I'm ready to go dance. Wherever you are in that journey, like, we would love to hear. Please put your comments below or reach out to one of us privately. We also have a private WhatsApp community. So if you want to join us in deeper conversations, personal conversations around topics like this, please write in the comments or send us a direct message on our Instagram at Cis Society World. And we would love to connect you in with the community as well.
Yes, thank you for speaking into that. We would love to connect with you. And Elfina expressed her gratitude. I would love to express my personal gratitude for you and your deep vulnerability and sharing this experience and how I'm left with a very open heart and an incredibly open mind and just a lot of beauty and awe in the potentiality and power of transmutation, right? And ultimately of surrender, which you spoke into so beautifully. So thank you for leaving us and instilling us with all of these codes of ultimate love and connection to each other and to our inner source. And I just love you so deeply. And yeah, in addition to Elfina and her like delightful dancing, she's also a spectacular astrologist. So if you feel called to get a reading, she is like one of the best astrologists that I've ever sat with. The way that she shares information allows it to be super digestible and also freaking fun. And personal readings with her have like completely transformed my life and direction and opened up so many channels of surrender ultimately. So yeah, I highly suggest that. She also has an incredible, incredible book called Moon Magic.
Menstrual magic.
I think maybe you were supposed to call it Moon Magic.
Yeah, in the beginning, that was the original name, but I changed it.
Was tapping into the quantum field. Menstrual magic that I have and I absolutely adore. So yeah, if you're interested in that as well, I'll allow her to share how you can connect with either of those things. And then I'll wrap us up and take us home.
Yeah, I'll just put everything in the show notes, the link to my book and to my readings and to my channels.
Crazy.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Loving all of you. Thank you so much. We wouldn't be here without you. Like truly, it's this community is built through these conversations, and every share and every like and every subscribe truly supports the expansion of our mission. So we encourage you, if this conversation was meaningful to you, like please share it, please talk about it, and like continue to build this hype and liberate this truth for the world through your sharing.
Yes, liberate the truth through your sharing, please. Yeah, like subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, like listen to our other episodes, share the episodes that resonate with you, with the people that come through your channel while you're listening to them. All of this means so much as we continue to expand in the shadow, to expand in the light, and ultimately unite them both as an integrated whole. Thank you again for tuning into this episode of Taboo Talks. Like Elfina said, we wouldn't be here without you, and we really love you, and we appreciate your presence and your support and your energy. And yeah, stay tuned for more episodes. They'll be coming at you this month. We're continuing to talk about money. If that's something that piques your interest, if you want to dive more deeply into money, we're here for you. And yeah, stay sensual, stay curious, and remember the only thing taboo is not talking about it. And we'll see you next time. Love you guys.